New York NIMBYs are on the warpath. Who will replace Marion Blakey after Thursday? And a Bombardier Q400 suffers a gear collapse. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 11th, 2007. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration acknowledged last week that it might wind up in court over modernization of the airspace over the New York-Philadelphia area, but went ahead and pulled the pin on the NIMBY grenade anyway. This week, as expected, the war is on. The FAA says it did extensive analysis and held more than 120 public meetings in five states throughout the environmental process. Opponents say they want still more public hearings. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal calls the FAA a lawless government because it did not make an environmental impact statement public, a move that could be interpreted as a violation of law. Fourth District U.S. Representative Christopher Shays says the chosen airspace plan is unreasonable because it fails to account for the plan's impact on the quality of life of those below the proposed routes. Quote, "With all due respect, the FAA is the most arrogant agency I've dealt with," unquote. The FAA has declined to meet with Shays. New York's Rockland County Executive C. Scott Vanderhoof last week announced his county is going to file a lawsuit against the FAA over the airspace redesign, saying it violates the National Environmental Policy Act. Blumenthal says he's assembling a coalition to challenge the FAA plans as, quote, "legally flawed and environmentally clueless," unquote. The FAA says its plan will reduce delays, fuel consumption, aircraft emissions, and noise for the 29 million people living in the 31,000 square miles affected. But obviously, you can't please everyone. The Lieutenant Governor of Vermont is reportedly among the candidates to succeed Marion Blakey as FAA Administrator when she steps down on Thursday, according to industry sources. The Brattleboro Reformer reports Lieutenant Governor Brian Duby, a captain with American Airlines and a former military pilot, is in the running for the top post at the FAA. Duby has served as chairman of the Aerospace States Association and worked toward the launch of the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association. Quote, "It's an unexpected honor just to be considered for the FAA administrator's job at this pivotal point in the direction of our nation's air travel system performance and infrastructure," unquote. Duby is far from a slam dunk for the post, though. He notes that he is fully engaged as Vermont's lieutenant governor. Former FAA Deputy Administrator Barbara Barrett is thought to also be a strong candidate for the job. Duby says he's watching with interest, quote, "for what it will mean to Vermont, to the safety, quality, and cost of air transportation for all Vermonters, and the continued viability of our 18 great state, municipal, and private airports," unquote. Five people are said to have sustained minor injuries when the right main landing gear of a Scandinavian Airlines turboprop failed on landing Sunday at Denmark's Aalborg Airport. The Bombardier Q400 was arriving from Copenhagen carrying 69 passengers and four crew members. The plane reportedly ground-looped after the gear collapsed on landing. The pilot had dumped excess fuel and reported a gear problem before attempting the landing. The Associated Press reported Monday morning that the plane was still on the runway and that 15 flights in and out of Copenhagen had been canceled due to the runway closure. The airline said the landing gear problem was a first, both for the airline and the aircraft maker, Bombardier. SAS has a fleet of 33 Q400s. Other than the aircraft involved in Sunday's incident, none were taken out of service, according to SAS. Peggy Fawcett, Steve Fawcett's wife of 39 years, expressed gratitude on Monday for rescuers searching for her husband. Monday morning at 8:45 a.m. marked 1 week since Fawcett took off from the Hilton Flying M Ranch in a Blanca Super Decathlon, reportedly to scout nearby dry lakes for a suitable location for a land speed record attempt. Quote, "Our hopes are high and I am confident of a successful resolution to this search," unquote. Much has been made in some general media outlets about Fawcett's failure to file a flight plan, complicating the efforts of searchers. But it's not clear how a flight plan could have been filed for a flight which was intended to land at the same airport it departed and with an undetermined meandering route. The plane did have an emergency locator transmitter, and Fawcett was said to be wearing a Breitling emergency watch, which has a built-in ELT that operates on 121.5 MHz, but requires manual activation. Neither beacon has so far been detected by searchers. Up next on ANN, Russian bears are now probing Canada's defenses. A Cessna pilot busts an Australian restricted area, and DFW shares its surplus with the airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 11, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Canada scrambled CH-18 Hornets to intercept several old Tupolev 95 Bear bombers flying over the Arctic near Canadian airspace Friday. The area is inside what the Canadian military calls its Air Defense Identification Zone near Inuvik, Northwest Territories. Lieutenant General Angus Watt told the Chronicle Herald, quote, "It's not exactly a new challenge. It's an old challenge that has returned. They were never in our airspace. They were never in our sovereign territory. A couple of missions doesn't make a trend, and over the course of the next few years, we'll see what their posture is. But on the basis of a few missions, we just react as we always have," unquote. Russia continues to test Britain as well. Russian Air Force spokesman Colonel Alexander Drobyshevsky has reportedly confirmed that 14 long-range bombers were engaged in missions over the Pacific, Atlantic, and Arctic Oceans Wednesday night. Watt says no one should expect a return to the Cold War, quote, "but in the end, it does, I think, prove the point that we can't take anything for granted," unquote. The Royal Australian Air Force scrambled two FA-18 Hornets on Saturday, but it had nothing to do with the Cold War. It seems the pilot of a Cessna 337 Skymaster flew into a 45 nautical mile wide no-incursion zone over the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. The fighters were scrambled when an attempt at radio contact failed. Witnesses got quite a show. They said the fighters fired flares to get the Cessna pilot's attention right over the city of Penrith, an area better known for its natural beauty and open spaces. The 337 was escorted by the Hornets to Bankston Airport, where officials questioned the pilot, identified as David Brown, at length before releasing him. It wasn't the first aeronautical novelty marking the APEC conference. The military reportedly ordered two hot air balloons to make emergency landings after they strayed a bit too close to Richmond Air Base Friday morning. One landed in a field, the other in a housing development near Kellyville. John Allen, one of the balloon pilots, joked to reporters, quote, "We were waiting for them to send in the FA-18s, unquote. Nearly 3 years after Delta Airlines pulled its hub operation out of Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, DFW is recovering, and airport officials are spreading the love. USA Today reports the airport expects costs to come in under budget for fiscal 2007. As a reward, DFW plans to refund more than $23 million to its airline tenants. That's about half the projected $48 million budget surplus, according to the paper. About $13 million will be dedicated to a pension fund for airport staff, as well as other benefits. American Airlines will likely benefit most from the refunded fees and rent payments. The Fort Worth-based carrier is by far the largest operator at DFW. This is all small change in the airline world, but no doubt the thought is appreciated. The National Transportation Safety Board's report on a July 31st helicopter accident in Columbia, Missouri, attributes probable cause to the failure of the pilot to maintain control, but goes on to list tall grass as a contributing factor. The Missourian reported the helicopter was owned by Triple S Hauling. The pilot, who was not identified, told the NTSB he had loaded a 167-pound payload behind the right seat of the Bell 206, then was told the customer would not be riding along in the left seat. Rather than move the payload to correct aircraft balance, the pilot said he decided to fly from the left seat due to a, quote, time deadline, unquote. He told investigators if he had taken time to get help and move the load, The helicopter would have been able to take off within its normal CG envelope. But he didn't, so it didn't. The pilot said he was unaccustomed to the left seat and overcontrolled the cyclic. NTSB says the machine tipped, caught its skids in what the Missourian said was tall grass, in a field that served as a landing pad behind an office building. The machine came down and impacted terrain on its right side. Fortunately, the pilot's injuries were minor, and he was treated and released at a nearby hospital. Still ahead, a British defense firm claims a new UAV endurance record. Another engine replacement option is planned for the Citation. And World Space Expo comes to Kennedy Space Center. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 11, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The British defense company Kinetic, spelled with Q's, is claiming an unofficial record for the longest flight of an unmanned aerial vehicle. Because there was no official from the Federation Aeronautic International present, the record is not official, but the company says its Zephyr solar-powered UAV spent 54 hours aloft recently at the U.S. military's White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. The flight was made carrying a surveillance payload and reached 58,355 feet. The company credits new paper-thin solar arrays supplied by Unitech Solar Ovonic and new batteries and autopilot technology for the improvements in the craft's endurance. The Zephyr demonstrated an endurance of 6 hours in a December 2005 test, reaching over 26,000 feet. 7 months later, it stayed aloft for 18 hours, reaching 36,000. Zephyr is an ultra-lightweight carbon fiber aircraft with a wingspan of up to 59 feet, but weighing just 66 pounds. It's launched by hand, then flies on solar power during the day and rechargeable lithium-sulfur batteries at night. Potential applications include Earth observation and communications relay in support of a range of defense, security, and civil applications. The duration of the flight exceeded the current official FAI world record for unmanned flight, which stands at 30 hours 24 minutes and was set by a Northrop Grumman RQ-4A Global Hawk in 2001. But if Kinetic has demonstrated to the U.S. military that its UAV can beat that record by 77%, who cares about the FAI? The move to re-engine older Cessna Citations has attracted another interested company. Clifford Development tells ANN it recently initiated a supplemental type certificate program to re-engine the Cessna Citation S2 with Williams International FJ44-3 engines. The company says it's also working on a winglet for further increased performance and efficiency. The upgrade will cost a hefty $2.2 million plus your old engines. But the company claims a jaw-dropping 75% reduction in time to climb to flight level 340, a 40% NBAA range increase with four passengers, a 34% improvement in single-engine climb rate, and a 28% reduction in fuel costs. Oh, and FADEC, too. Clifford says that for an owner facing a second overhaul, the gains in fuel efficiency and speed, combined with reduced engine maintenance costs, can allow recovery of this investment in 3 to 5 years of typical operation. Issuance of the STC is anticipated in early 2008, and customer installations will be handled by service centers in North America. Kennedy Space Center will play host to the inaugural World Space Expo, celebrating NASA's 50 years in space exploration, Thursday through Sunday, November 1st through the 4th. Kennedy's Daniel LeBlanc says the Space Center is getting help from NASA to pull together a comprehensive exposition. Quote, The event will give all who attend a glimpse of mankind's space achievements from the place that sends people into space. The aerial salute to 50 years in space featuring the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds will mark only the second time an air show has been held at Kennedy Space Center, with special viewing from the NASA Causeway, unquote. The U.S. Army Golden Knights parachute team will also perform, and a P-51 Mustang Heritage flight is scheduled. The World Space Expo is billed as a unique event to celebrate humanity's first 50 years in space, with a look forward to exploring the moon and beyond. Among the featured participants will be astronauts John Glenn and Scott Carpenter, as well as the Pioneering Women of Aerospace Forum, featuring Eileen Collins and other prominent female space veterans. Confirmed exhibitors include SpaceX, the FAA, and the XPRIZE Foundation, featuring a full-scale model of Spaceship One. And finally, 2 months after sky-darkening dust from severe storms nearly killed NASA's Mars exploration rovers, the space agency reports its solar-powered robots are awake and ready to continue their mission. Opportunity is preparing to drive into the half-mile diameter Victoria crater as early as Tuesday. Its twin, Spirit, also survived the global dust storms and has climbed onto its long-term destination called Home Plate. That's a plateau of layered bedrock bearing clues to an explosive mixture of lava and water. Both rovers were built to last 3 months, but are still on the job 43 months into their mission. Not all NASA's Mars expeditions have been as successful. In 1999, the Mars Climate Orbiter is presumed to have burned up in the atmosphere of Mars when engineering teams accidentally mixed English and metric commands. 2 months later, the Mars Polar Lander disappeared when, it's thought, a software error misinterpreted the sound of its landing legs deploying as the sound of contact with the surface, resulting in premature engine cutoff and a 130-foot free fall to the surface. And so, for everything else they're accomplishing, even at $400 million each and $3 million a month, Opportunity and Spirit are pulling up the average. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation, about his recent writings on privatization of airports and on harnessing market forces to reduce airline delays. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.